This week we are covering covenant people find someone that they can lose themselves in. Last week, following the killing of Goliath and the defeat of the Philistines, once Goliath was defeated, everybody took off running. Saul wanted to know more about this young David, who had suddenly gained great popularity. If you remember, the people were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s, and that got Saul's attention. He was a very jealous man. So Saul, with his son Jonathan at his side, calls for David to find out more about him so that he, and this is amazing, Saul did it purposely and only to further his own agenda. And can I just say at this point, we will all encounter Sauls, yes, in our life. You will always come across people who use you, who see you have something that can aid their cause and something that they can use you for. But the answer is not to be bitter. The scripture tells us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And God will, if we give these types of situations to God, God will show us what we need to do. So don't take it into your own hands and think, I am going to avenge myself. The only person that will get hurt is you. God does not want us to be hurt. He says, give it to me and let me deal with it. And it's not always a bad thing, because all of this is about developing our character, and that's ultimately what God wants to do. And he allows these situations to come into our lives. He allows Saul's entry because he wants to make us strong. David is not interested in politics. Saul was very political, very legal, very wily, and David was not interested in politics. He was not interested in anything of the control and the domination that was very obvious about Saul. And David, he had dealt with crafty lions and wily wolves when he was protecting his sheep. And so he knew the characteristics, he knew the strategy, and he was able to deal with Saul. David had discovered that real fulfillment comes from losing yourself in somebody else and finding a cause that's bigger than yourself. Amen. I just want to say thank God. Here we have a cause that's bigger than ourselves. God has said that he's put us here, he's given us this place, he will fill it to capacity and beyond. So God is going to fulfill that, and he has called us to focus on the bigger thing that he is doing and not on the me situation. We need to lose ourselves in God's plan. Saul underestimated David, but the interesting thing is Jonathan was there. Jonathan was captivated by David's words. I wonder why. I reckon it was because David was a passionate man. He could not have killed Goliath had he not been passionate about the kingdom and about defending God's kingdom. And he went out there knowing that God was on his side, because you that are standing in God's way need to come down. You are not going to stay there and defeat God's people. God's my champion and I go out in his name. And that makes you passionate. When you know your relationship with God, we had an incident this week in the fellowship, and there was a giant standing in somebody's way and trying to bring fear and intimidation. And we prayed and we stood on the word of God, Psalm 91. And that devil, that demon, that giant came tumbling down and scarpered The devil will run when you use the word of God on him. He cannot stand against it. This word is active and living. And when you start to speak it, the devil is gone. He flees. He cannot stand the word of God. He can't resist it. He can't stand against it. David was not controlling or self-seeking as Saul was. He realised it took more to become a father than just producing children. There is a thing about relationship here. It's about losing yourself in someone else. It's about relationships. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, if you've got your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1. In the King James it says, "And it came to pass, when he," that's David, "had made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." When Jonathan listened to David and his passion for the cause of the kingdom, he immediately responded to David, and their souls were knit together. Jonathan had found a cause to lose himself in, a person to join to as one for the same purpose of building the kingdom. And who would have thought that a son of Saul would become a covenant brother to David? You don't know who God is going to bring along for you to covenant with. But you will know immediately when you see them, there will be a spiritual connection, and you will know that this is a God connection. Follow it, and let God do amazing things. Today, God is connecting people for his purposes. People who are tired of political controlling relationships that only serve to exalt the flesh. He's joining people who are willing to serve each other and care more about their covenant brothers and sisters than they do about themselves. In Philippians chapter 2, this is the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he's encouraging them. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." It's time to care more for others than we do for ourselves. It's time to be done with strife, arguing, and vainglory. Me, me, me. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Praise God. A challenge for us all, especially in today's society. Divine connections are not based on personality, they're not based on culture, they're not based on theology, but they're based on the kingdom purpose and potential. The potential that's in you, God wants to harness for the kingdom, and he'll bring people who he will connect you with who will see that potential and will help you harness it and motivate you for the kingdom of God. God's amazing. Some people may come, as did Jonathan with David, from the house of Saul, places you would not expect. Others, out of a totally different culture or nationality, but they will all be for God's purpose.
Yeah.
And personally, years ago, a friend of mine, and I believe this is a covenant relationship, although I never see her very often. I haven't seen her for years or made contact. In fact, I don't think I've still got a phone number. But that person was, she was from a gypsy community. But I tell you what, our spirits knit together in covenant, and we just ticked the same, focused the same, passionately running together for the kingdom of God until God moved her to a different location. But God will bring people like that. So don't just dismiss a person and think, I don't hold the same culture as them. And you'll never know, if we won't ever know unless we move out of our comfort zone and talk to somebody and get to know somebody and start chatting. And that's what the alterations have been really good for, because the community and the church has come together and we've all been chatting around while we're eating, and we have lots of fun, and you know, we just torment one another, tease one another. But hey, we're kingdom building, we're relationship building, and just chatting. You know, I've been chatting to Felicity, and I'm in amazement how God has brought her to this place and the obstacles He's taken her through. But He protected her and He guarded her and He brought her because He destined that she would be here for such a time as this. And we're all destined to be here for such a time as this. And God is saying, find your purpose. Find yourself in somebody else. Join with other people and join the great big picture that God has for us. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And the word soul means breath and vitality. So God breathed on that relationship, and He put life between two people, causing their vitality, their energy, and their individual purpose to become inseparable from one another. That's like the marriage relationship. When Andrew and I were married, our souls were knit together, and they're still knit together. I will follow Andrew anywhere. He's the adventurer. He likes to be off and going. I'm more the home bird. But that doesn't mean, because we're somewhat opposites, that we don't blend and that we're not covenant people. I just have something in me that says, you go and I'll follow you. Just tell me, just shout, and I'll be there. I'll back you up, I'll support you. I'll make sure that everything's good at home. I'll make sure there's food on the table. I'll make sure when you're here that we're all eating. I'll make sure the house is clean, and I'll weed the garden. I'll get everything, I'll do as much as I can. And Andrew has the same attitude towards me, but we all have different talents and stuff that we can do, and there's a lot of stuff that I can't do, but Andrew can do lots of stuff that I can't do, and I thank God for that. Together we are one in purpose and one in destiny. We're nothing without someone else. And I think that's why when people lose their lifetime partners, they feel, what have I got to live for? I'm lost without this other person. But God always has an answer. God always closes one door, but He opens another door. And He said, I've got another chapter. I've got another project. I've got something else that I want you to lose yourself in and come into covenant with those people who are with me. Individualism must die. We're not individuals when it comes to the kingdom. Kingdom's about covenants. It's not about doing your own thing and living for yourself and me and nobody else. We're here to serve one another and to serve the kingdom. We need to lose ourselves in someone else. In 1 Samuel 18 and verse 3, 1 Samuel 18 and verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan loved David as his own soul, and together they made a covenant. When scripture says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul, it's not the same kind of love as when Michael, David's wife, loved David. Michael loved David because of his achievements. She loved him for what he did. Jonathan loved David by the Spirit, not for what he did, but for who he was. And God loves you and I for who we are. Warts and all, we need to know that. God's love is unconditional. He will never take it from you. If you fall flat on your face, he will pick you up. He will dust you down. He'll say to you, come on, we'll try this again. You can do it. In my strength, in my power, you can do it. You can be the person I've brought you here to be. Let God do what he's going to do. I love it. It's all about God's unconditional love. Andrew has been talking about Jesus, the I Am. And Jesus said that he is divine and we are the branches. And abiding in him. And that's about a fruitful relationship. But it's just about abiding in that unconditional love. Just being there. Being in God's presence. Not asking for anything. Not really doing anything. But just soaking in his presence. Reading his word. And letting him talk to you. So many churches, so many organisations are into programs, works programs. And yeah, we're doing work here, and yes, we've got vision. But unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. It's got to be God's doing, not our doing. Not by our works and that we're going to achieve this. God has said he will do it, and he will do it. And it's trusting God all the way and just abiding in him. Not running away from him, but just soaking in his presence. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 4 says, 1 Samuel 18 and verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Jonathan gave David his princely robes. How amazing is that? His robe of authority, for goodness sake. He exchanged his robe, his kingly robe of authority, and he took on himself David's clothes of a humble beginning, a humble person, humility. And I just sat and thought about that. And isn't that a picture of Christ in the church? Jesus gave me a robe of righteousness. We are kings and priests unto God. Oh, goodness me. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are co-heirs with Christ. Oh, the awesome responsibility, the awesome blessing that I am a co-heir with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has seated us. He came and took our place here. What did we give him? We gave him our sin. We gave him our guilt. We gave him our fear. We gave him our insecurities. We gave him our pain. We gave him our sorrows. What an lousy exchange. But that's what he wanted. He wanted all our mean, horrible, nasty things that the devil had done to us. He wanted to take them off us and redress us to in robes of princely robes. Prince, we're just righteous. We're holy. And we're seated with Christ. Wow, kings and priests. What an exchange. Jesus, I'm so glad that you came and you rescued us when we were at our darkest. If you loved us at our darkest, how much more, Lord, when we are reconciled to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you stepped down and you left the ivory palaces and you came to a world of woe and suffering that you might deliver us from that horrible pit that the devil had put us in, and raise us and seat us with you in heavenly places, knowing who we are. We are your offspring, Father, and we thank you that we are equal. Lord, you've made us equal, co-heirs with Christ, to rule and to reign as Jesus did when he was on the earth. Father, let us rise, let us know our authority and rise to it. In Jesus' name. When David and Jonathan exchanged clothes and armour and equipment, they were not hiding from one another. And covenant people have nothing to hide from one another. They're not afraid of seeing the flaws of their brothers and sisters. When God knits your heart with someone, it goes deeper than feelings. Feelings, emotions will just rip you apart. The devil uses feelings and emotions to bring division between people and to bring a destruction, to break relationships. And that's not God. God knits our hearts with one another. And it's not about your feelings. You know, Jesus knows us intimately. We're laid bare before him. Don't try and hide from him. You can't hide. There's nothing that you do that God doesn't see and isn't aware of. But it doesn't faze him. It doesn't knock him off his throne. He's forgiving. He's loving. He's unconditional in his love. And all he says is, don't run away from me. Run to me. And I'll show you the way through this. I'll build you. I'll make you to build relationships that cannot be broken. And here, 1 Corinthians 13 is so important. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not going to read it, but if you go through what Paul is saying, love is. Love is not an emotion. The world thinks love is an emotion. Well, it's not. Not about feelings, it's about an act of your will. I choose to love you. I choose to commit myself to you. I choose to let God bring the best out in you. I choose to teach you the God's way, that you might live an overcoming life, that you might be more than a conqueror, that God destined you to be. He didn't destine you to be a defeated person. He destined you to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror, to be one of his kids, and to be rooted and grounded securely in God's love. That's one of the Ephesians, the prayers Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they would be rooted and grounded securely in God's love, knowing the length, breadth, depth and height of that love that surpasses knowledge, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. And that's what God wants for us all, to be filled full of him. Because when we're filled full of him, there's no room for the devil to get an inroad into us, and we will be able to be strong to help others to reach that point too. Covenant people have all things in common. I think about the early church. When the church was first formed in Acts chapter 3, they all sold their possessions, they sold land, they sold houses, and they brought everything to the house of God. They brought their goods, their money, their food. They ate together, they drank together, they fellowshiped together, they worshipped together. They were one huge community. They were one in Christ Jesus. I think that's a beautiful picture. God wants that same thing today. He doesn't want people being individuals and saying, this is mine, it's not yours. Everything we have belongs to God. When God calls you, he wants everything. He wants you. When you read about some of these old missionaries, some of them were very wealthy. They had tremendous inheritances from their relatives. But yet, their passion and their love to reach souls, men and women for Jesus Christ, they travelled to the other end of the earth. But before they did that, they gave all the money away. And they said, I'm going to trust God. God will supply my needs. He's called me. He'll equip me. And God says, don't withhold. If you withhold, you become poor. Proverbs says you withhold to poverty. If you want to be poor, then don't give God a penny. But if you want to be rich in every way, give him everything. Say, God, you can have me and everything that belongs to me. Because you've given it to me in the first place. It all belongs to you anyway. So, and you will never lose out by giving everything to God. When you give him everything, he'll give everything back to you. Because the principle is, what you sow, you will reap. So let's do it, folks. I want to be blessed. I want to be bursting with blessings. In fact, I am bursting with blessings. But God is not finished. There's a huge abundance there that we've never tapped into. And God says, I don't want to tap into it for me. I want to tap into it to build the kingdom and to see men and women brought in to the kingdom. Andrew put a lovely saying, a picture of various men, missionaries, Reinhard Bonnke and quite, I think, Wigglesworth and others who had really done a phenomenal work for God. And they were all there saying that their hearts were just totally committed to the kingdom, to men and women. They'd given everything to Jesus that souls might be saved. And I'm saying, God, raise us up in that mould today to give everything to see men and women. I hate to even think of anybody going to hell. David had already been anointed king by Samuel. This was way before this event happened. Samuel had very quietly, without drawing attention to King Saul, God had rejected Saul. He'd looked in his heart and seen that he was not a man that was passionate about God. He'd lost his vision, he'd lost his focus, and he was self-serving. And so God sent Samuel to anoint David as Saul's successor. But when Jonathan placed the robe on David, Jonathan was saying to him, you are now next in line to the king. Jonathan was giving up his position as next in line to the throne. And he was placing that on David, just fulfilling the word of God and saying, David, you will be the next ruler of the nation, not me. Jonathan gave up his right to the throne to David, and yet he ruled with David through covenant relationship. And when we're in covenant, it's all about, hey, your success is my success. Your blessing is my blessing. Yeah, and we're as one. We see just the big picture all the time. We're all working towards the same goal. And today God's searching for men and women who've had their souls knit together with someone other than themselves. He's looking for men and women who are willing to invest themselves in the success of others. And I just thank God that we're seeing that here now. People who are investing themselves in others because they love them and they want to see them in relationship with God and coming through in victory and being strong. You know, I look at Louise and I think, what a beautiful flower she is. She's just opening up and blossoming. Why? Because she knows God loves her. And why does she know God loves her? Because David has spent, and I'm not putting David on the platform, but he's one of these who has been willing to invest himself in somebody else and seeing the fruit of that investment. And God wants us not to be stand-offish. He doesn't want us to be individualist. He wants us to lose ourselves and to invest in others and bring them in. You know, God has given us a rich heritage. Now at 70 years old, for goodness sake, we've got lots of mileage behind us, lots of experiences. And we can help the younger generation. We can help those who are not as fully formed and developed as we are to get to where we are and beyond. Go for it. You know, inspire me, encourage me, respond to God. And then we will see that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. That's what God wants. People who are prepared to labour and invest in others. Covenant people are stable and they're humble enough to place the needs and the success of others above their own. Covenant is not self-serving. It's about vision and prophetic purpose. God wants us here to be one in the same vision and to do whatever we can. Whatever your hands find to do, do it as unto the Lord. And encourage your brother. If you see somebody down, go and get alongside them and ask God to give you the wisdom and what to say and how you can help. We can all impart something to others and need to give time to others. Need to go out of our way to just get talking to people who perhaps we wouldn't normally talk to. And you think, oh, I'm shy, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ. These people, God has sent them here to be loved and to be taught that He loves them and He has a good destiny and a future for them. You can recognise when relationships are God ordained. Why? How? Because they will release your destiny. And I think that's lovely. I found that I can do more stuff now than I would ever have done had I not been married to Andrew. I just thank God that He brought us together, because He has inspired me, He's pushed me, He's challenged me. Yeah, He shouted at me. And sometimes, you know, we can be really stubborn. And sometimes I've said to God, thank you, God, because if He hadn't have got my attention, I would have let it go straight over my head. I would have missed it. And sometimes God has to use people to shake us and say, listen to me. Oh, you've got something important to say. Listen. It's not always about, whoa, lovey-dovey. Sometimes God has to yank the carpet from under us, the rug from under us, to wake us up. He has to throw the bedclothes off and say, out. You remember your mum and dad doing that to you? That's what mum and dads are for, aren't they? To provoke you. Get up, there's no room for laziness here. Real fulfillment comes from assisting your covenant connections in finding their destiny and reaching their goals. God wants every one of us to reach our goal, to fulfill our destiny. Hey! And I want every one of us to reach the goal and fulfill our destiny. And I say, God, put me alongside people that I can help and inspire and encourage to get there and beyond. Amen. Praise God. That needs to be the focus of all of us. It was Joshua's focus. What did Joshua do? He said he caused others to inherit the land. He did. He went in and he inherited the land and he took the rest of them with him. And that's what God is looking for. Joshua's, who will go with it and follow God. And just a few thoughts about Jesus. Jesus lost Himself in others. Andrew's been doing the I Am, seven I Ams of Jesus. And one of them is, I am the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep. That's in John 10 and verse 11. Matthew 10 and verse 39, Jesus said, He that finds his life shall lose it. Live for yourself. Empty. you'll lose your life and you'll have nothing to do. There'll be nothing to be seen for you being here. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Give your life to Jesus. Lose your life in Jesus and you will have a tremendous heritage for the kingdom. Amen. And Luke chapter 16 and verse 12 says, Luke 16 and verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God wants us to work in another man's field, and he will give us our own. And we've seen that as we've been through harvest fields. People have come along and they've joined with us, and they've got the vision that God has got here, and they've worked with the vision, and then God has moved them on to a vision of their own. You know, it's a training ground, a developing ground. Not everybody will leave. Some will leave, some will stay. But it's all about developing the relationships and developing our character and preparing us for the bigger work of the kingdom. And if we look at Paul lost himself in Timothy and also in others. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2. Paul starts this chapter by saying, to Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Timothy was his spiritual son. He had developed him and grown him and brought him into maturity. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, again Paul says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll give everything for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Sometimes you can pour yourself into people, and for some reason, there seems to be no love in return, nothing in return. But covenant's about giving. It's not about self-serving. It's great to see when something happens, but Paul says, whether I get anything out of this or not, though I love you more and more abundantly, if you choose not to respond and love me, I'll still do it. Love is not self-seeking. Love is giving. It's not about what we'll get out of it. You can't fail to receive, but we don't give to receive. We give because we love others. And, you know, I'm so glad that God does not keep a record of my wrongs. He doesn't keep a record of my failures. It's all about grace. Grace doesn't keep records of wrongs. God is love. Love doesn't keep record of wrongs. It doesn't equal the score. It just is unconditional love. That's how God loves you, and that's how God's saying, love one another as I have loved you. Amen.